Morning to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 20, if you would. I will tell you, I had a great week this week preaching to a bunch of teenagers in Greenville, South Carolina at Tabernacle Christian School, and went there. Brother Scott Trangmar is the principal there, and he had asked me to come, and well, we just had a good time. Had one saved on Friday, and that's worth going for. So what a blessing that is. But I sure was glad to get home, all right? It was good to get home, I guarantee you. And good to sleep in my own bed, you know. There's just nothing like your own bed and being able to get in it. So, I appreciate those of you who prayed for me this last week. It was a help, without a doubt. And I hope you prayed for the service today, all right? I'm going to bring a message. Got plenty of time. Honestly, I do feel like we might get out a little bit early. Now, those of you that have been here before said, sure, fat chance. But there's always hope, okay? There's always hope, that's for sure. It's good to see Brother Todd's son, Justin, and his wife and family with us today. We're glad they're here. And I've known Justin a long time, you know. But he is a lot taller than he was when I met him around the first time, but that's for sure. All right, you're there, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. The Bible said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Let's pray together, if you would. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray for the service this morning. Help me to say what needs to be said. And Lord, I pray folks here would just listen on purpose this morning. And you'd use this time to speak to every heart. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I love good four-part harmony singing. I mean, I love it. I was just a little kid, hadn't even started school. The first time I was ever taken to what was called a gospel singing, and my brother and I went. It was out in the open. The groups that sang got up on a flatbed truck, and they had a piano up there and the microphones up there, and I listened to that kind of singing, and man, I fell in love with it. It's, you know, old-time four-part Southern gospel singing. Now, I say old-time every time I say it.
Yes, sir.
Because there's a lot of stuff today under the name of Southern gospel that I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for, all right? It is not near what was when I was a kid. But there is still some good four-part gospel singing going on. But I just love that harmony. But when I was a kid, I was also introduced to four-part harmony singing on some old TV shows, and it was the Roy Rogers Show. Yeah, I know I date myself, all right? I was a kid, and every Saturday morning, there were three programs my brother and I watched, and we watched Roy Rogers, we watched Gene Autry, and we watched Tarzan. And then we would go outside and we either played Cowboys and Indian or we played Tarzan, all right? And so I was Tarzan, he was Cheetah. But I thought I'd say that, okay? But no, we would, in listening to that, I was introduced to groups like the Sons of the Pioneers. And man, it just great harmony, okay? Such great harmony. And the Sons of the Pioneers sang a song entitled "The Last Roundup," you know? And it went a little bit like this. "I'm heading for the last roundup to the faraway ranch of the boss in the sky, Where the strays are counted and branded, there go I. I'm heading for the last roundup. Then it went on, get along, little doggy, get along, all right. Now, I want to say this to you. There is some biblical truth in that song, all right? Now, it's not all scripturally true, but there is some biblical truth in it. And, it reflects, you know, it takes us back to, in the Old West, they had yearly roundups, especially in the days of open range before the fencing went up. And every year, the different ranches would gather together and they would send those cowboys out, and in every draw, every canyon, every thicket was worked and searched. They would look for cattle, and they were the young, the old, and all the in-between, and they were gathered and brought in so they could be branded and separated. Some went to market, and, you know, they wound up on somebody's plate, but others were kept for breeding and raising more. But it's been a long time since that happened. But the Bible tells us, and describes for us what I am referring to today as the absolute last roundup that's going to occur. Now, it's not going to be cattle, all right? It's not going to be cattle. It's not going to be sheep or anything like that. It's going to be individuals. It's going to be people. And that's what's given to us here in Revelation chapter 20. Verse 12 said, "And I saw the dead, small and great," all right, "stand before God." Verse 13 says, "The sea gave up the dead which were in it," all right? "And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them." All were gathered, okay? All that were there were gathered up, okay? Now, I want you to talk to you about that roundup this morning, if I could. First thing I want you to see, it's going to be supernatural. Supernatural thing. It's God causing it to happen. All right? It's God causing to happen. He's going to bring forth all the dead, all right? All that have died. The Bible said even the sea is going to give up the dead which were in them, all right? Now, he's not going to need any help, okay? That's why I say it's supernatural. He's not going to have to send the angels out. All he's going to do is have to call them forth, and they will come, all right? Just because he calls them. Listen, I believe in a supernatural God. Supernatural God can do above and beyond anything that we can even ask or think. But the Bible says they're all going to be gathered together before a great white throne. But I want you to look at the Bible picture of this, all right? It says there was a great white throne in verse 11, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Now, when you read that, you have to think, well, where's that throne going to sit? Well, just to be honest with you, I believe it's just going to be there.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Hey, you say suspended in space? Yep. It'll just be there. You say, well, what about gravity? Listen, the God that designed the law of gravity can suspend that law, okay? Won't be any problem for him at all. And I believe that's exactly what the picture's going to be. From what the Bible says, the earth, the heaven fled away from that throne. So there the throne's going to be, and God himself's going to be seated upon that throne. And the Bible said all those would be gathered in front of that throne. Now here's the picture, okay? If the earth and the heaven are fled away, there's no place to hide.
Amen.
There is no place to hide, all right? No place to hide. Now, I know how people are. We try to hide behind people. Right? I mean, we try to hide behind people. When I was a kid and they were picking teams, if it was a team I didn't want to be on, I'd hide, but try to hide behind somebody so that guy wouldn't pick me. And then if it was the guy picking that I want to be on the team, you stand out. You know? Well, hey, there's going to be no place to hide in that day. You say, well, we'll hide behind somebody. Well, wait a minute. All of space is going to be open.
Yes, sir. Right.
And if God's calling them forth, don't you think he can stand them where he wants to stand them?
Right.
He can put them there. I'm just saying it's going to be an absolutely supernatural roundup, and the Lord's going to call all of those there. But I want you to notice, they're not called to be branded. Verse 12 says this, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. That is the reason, that's the purpose. They've been called to stand before Him. It's not like an old roundup where they rounded up the cattle and, you know, they tried to figure out, okay, which cow is that calf following? And whichever cow the calf is following, whoever owns the cow ought to own the calf. Now, that made sense, okay? That made sense. Well, and they determined ownership that way. But this is not going to be for the purpose of ownership. The truth of the matter is, ownership's already been determined. Those that have turned up that day don't belong to God. They're not His, all right? We talk about the saved and the unsaved. The saved belong to the Lord. They've trusted Him. They've trusted Him. They're in His family. They're in His family. Hey, if you're here this morning, you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've been born again, you're in the family of God. I want to say something. There is a teaching goes around that says all mankind's in the family of God. That is not scriptural. The only way you ever get in the family is by birth. By birth, I am a Mosley because I was born into the Mosley family. The Mosley family, all right? I was born into that family. The Bible talks about the new birth. Hey, we're born into the family of God. You said, well, preacher, wait a minute. You can be adopted. Well, the Bible says God adopted us, okay? We were grafted, especially us Gentiles. We were adopted in, all right? Hey, but you got to be in that family. And you're not in that family just because you're in existence. You have to have chosen the Lord as your Savior. If you've chosen Him, you're among the saved. But if you've not, then the Bible says you're in that group that the Bible says is unsaved. They're lost people. You don't belong to Him. Jesus put it this way when He was on the earth. He said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. And a stranger will they not follow. He said, I know the ones that are mine. I know the ones that are mine. Hey, we stand in that day when they stand before the great white throne, it will not be for branding because the matter of ownership has already been decided. He said, well, what is the reason for it then? All right. Well, because they're going to give an account of themselves to God. Look, if you will, verse 13. The Bible says in verse 13 at the end of it, they were judged every man according to their works. So it's for the judging of works. That's the reason for that gathering. Those folks' works will be judged, all right? It's going to be judged. And they'll stand before Him. The Bible says here, we've read, the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the Bible said the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Hey, our God's keeping an account.
Amen.
God's keeping an account.
Yes, sir.
He's keeping an account of what we do, what is done on this earth, and we'll be judged according to their works. Judgment's going to be according to works. Wait a minute. Here's what that means. Grace will not be involved. Grace not going to be involved. Mercy. Mercy's not going to be involved at all. You'll notice the Bible doesn't say anything about grace, doesn't say anything about mercy. It says you're going to be judged according to their works. Just what you've done, all right? It's what you've done in life, it's going to be called for. Now, I picture this in my mind that God's going to do that. I know how humans are. We've all seen courtroom dramas. We've seen actual courtroom proceedings where a person sits down and the lawyer's asking the question and the fellow says, well, I really can't recall. I don't remember. And on occasion, maybe the question is, were you at such and such a place? on such and such a date. Now, well, I really don't remember. And then the lawyer will produce this picture, and he'll lay that picture up there and say, well, there's a picture. Is that you? Well, yeah, that's me. And that's the place we were talking about? Yep, that's the place. So you were there? Well, obviously I was there. Well, listen, I believe it's going to be a little bit like that on that day before God. People are going to do what people always do, and they're going to say, well, I'm not sure, I don't remember. And God said, well, I'll help your memory. I'll help your memory. I'll show you. I'll show you. Those that have committed crimes under the cover of darkness, it's going to be like night vision goggles been put on. I believe God's going to replay it. He said, here it is. There it is. There you are. You're the one holding the gun. You're the one pulled the trigger. Oh, you were never caught on earth, but I saw it. I saw it. You're guilty. You did it. You did it. There's going to be an accounting. We're going to be judged for our works. And those people that are there will be judged. That's it. No grace. No grace. You say, what's grace? Grace, all right, grace is where you get what you don't deserve. That's grace. You get what you don't deserve. All right, you're given things you don't deserve. Hey, I have been the recipient of the grace of God on multitudes of occasions. You have too. God's blessed you and given you things you did not deserve. Hey, I don't deserve to be able to stand and preach the Word of God. I don't deserve to be able to have gone like I did this last week and to be able to stand before about 80 teenagers and teachers and preach to them the Word of God. I don't deserve that, but God's grace allowed me to have that. Hey, there will be no grace on that day. But there's something else, there will be no mercy. He said, what's the difference between grace and mercy? Grace, you get what you don't deserve. Mercy is you don't get what you do deserve. Mercy. You ever been pulled over by the police officer and you were speeding? In spite of your, well, I'm not real sure, you were speeding. No doubt. You were breaking the speed limit. And the police officer pulled you over and you were guilty. And they could have easily written that ticket out. My favorite story when I broke the law, I was probably 18, 19. No, I wasn't. I was about 17, 18 years old at the most. At the most. I was downtown Fort Worth. Downtown Fort Worth. I ran a red light. I mean, not yellow light. I mean, red light, okay? Now, it had just changed. No, there was somebody stopped at the red light. I ran, okay? So, I mean, I did what you did. I do what you do. If you run a red light, you immediately scan everywhere to see if a police... Since you didn't get smashed, all right, you start looking to see if there's a police officer that saw it. Guess what? There was. He was the one sitting stopped at the light that I drove past. All right, now it was a policeman. Now, he wasn't in a squad car, but he was in what I call like a paddy wagon type thing. Y'all know what that is, right? And, it said Fort Worth Police all over it, all right? Well, the next light I come to, I thought it might be a good idea to stop. So I stopped. That light back there changed. That police officer drove up beside me. You know how hard it is to look cool when you are guilty? All right? Just be calm. And I looked over there, and he motioned for me to roll my window down. I rolled it down, trying to look. I don't know what I was trying to look. And he said, did you... No, you ran a red light. Did you see that red light? Well, yes, sir. Just as I went under it, I glanced up and I saw it was red. Yes, sir, I did. And I'm waiting on the axe to fall, okay? Hey, I was guilty. And it wasn't Joe told Fred who told the policeman. No, the policeman saw it. He was there. And that police officer looked at me and said, "Well, you need to be more careful. Next time you be sure you're looking better and you stop." No ticket. That's called mercy. Mercy. I didn't deserve it. I deserve that ticket hands down. But that police officer gave me mercy. Mercy. Boy, thank God for mercy. I've been the recipient of God's mercy so many times. You have too. The fact that you're here and you're still alive testifies to the fact God's been merciful to you. He's been merciful. Let me tell you, on that day, no mercy. No mercy. No mercy. And I'll tell you something else, there will be no forgiveness. Jeremy, I said, no forgiveness. He said, wait a minute, preacher. God's all about forgiveness. He is now. He is now. But when it comes to that day, everybody that's going to be standing there had their chance.
Yes, sir.
Everybody that's going to be standing there had their opportunity. Every one of them. Every one of them. There's going to be no mercy, no grace, no forgiveness. It is going to be too late for that. I want you to notice too, every person there will be judged. Man's going to get his great desire. The desire of everybody who is, well, I just want to be treated right. I just wanted to be treated equally. We hear today people say there ought to be an equality before the law. And there should be. There should be. On that day, you're going to get that. Equality. Anybody there, they're going to get equality before the law. They're all going to receive the same treatment. Nobody will get any special favor whatsoever. Nobody's going to be able to make any special plea. It's simply going to be, what have you done? You judged according to your works. Hey, you won't have to worry about, well, it's not going to be what somebody else said about me. Nope, won't have to worry about that. Not what somebody said. It's going to be what you did. And remember, God's keeping a record. His records are good. He doesn't lose them. He doesn't lose them. What is over in Dallas County, they lost a bunch of records, I think, you know. Hey, they don't lose records. God doesn't lose records. He keeps count. He knows. He knows. He knows where you were on Saturday night. He knows. He knows. You pick a Saturday night, any Saturday night in your life, He knows. He knows. I sometimes see people, I've seen it here lately a time or two on Facebook, somebody will post, where were you in 1975? I'm going, what? How in the world do I know, you know? I was somewhere, but I can tell you the state I was in, you know, but that's about it, you know, but God knows. You pick any date in your life, any date in your life, any time of that day, and God's got a record. God's got the record of everyone's going to stand before Him. The Bible said the small and the great, doesn't matter. Position, privilege, forget it, doesn't make any difference. Everybody will be there, all right? Everybody that's rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior will stand at that judgment. And they're going to be treated equal. They're going to be treated fairly according to their works. And there's one book that's going to be opened in particular. Verse 15 says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life. Hey, the great question is your name in that book? Is your name in that book? You say, well, I never have been there. Never have got to the point, but if they'd let me sign it, I'd sign in. Oh, you don't get to sign in on that book. That's not one you choose, all right? Not one where you visit somewhere and they want a list of the guests and they ask you to sign it. Nope. It's one God put your name in there. And the only names that are there are those trusted Christ. The only names. It's the book of life. But the Bible also says other books are open. I've thought about that a lot. I'm not sure that I would even venture to guess what a lot of them are, but I believe with all my heart one of them is going to be this book.
Amen.
It's going to be this book. Because you see, this book is the book that's told you what to do and how to do and how you ought to live. So when the time comes, judge your works. It's going to be simple. We'll put it up against what this book says. Just put it up against that, all right? Let's take something people are familiar with. Thou shalt not bear false witness, one of the Ten Commandments. That's just telling a lie. And go through your life, put it up against that verse. How would you come out? Preacher, move to the next point, would you? Yeah, we've been there, right? Yeah. Okay, so we go along. Thou shalt not covet. Preacher, move to the next one. Move to the next one. Now you see, we've got a problem. We've got a problem. We don't measure up too good against this book. Now, our view is, you don't understand. I'm better than he is. But that's not the measuring stick. That's not the measuring stick. I mean, that's just not it. I could get in the midst of a bunch of sumo wrestlers and say, hey, I'm skinny. But that wouldn't make me skinny, would it? I guess I could go to the convention of midgets, dwarfs, and say, I'm tall. But it wouldn't make me tall. Oh, compared to that, you know, I am tall compared to him. But that'd make me tall. Well, I'm good compared to him. But he's not the measuring stick. This is. This is the book. This is the book, your life. Your life's going to be measured against this book. Your life's not going to be measured against my life. My life's not going to be measured against my brother's life. Hey, my life, you know, it's me and that book right there. That's the measuring stick. We're going to be judged according to our works and according to what this book says about them, all right? Those folks at that great white throne judgment will be judged about it. And here's the problem. You remember how you felt when we talked about thou shalt not bear false witness? But preacher, I'm not a big liar. You know, I don't lie all the time. Well, that's a comfort. Sometimes we can believe you then, right? Hey, you get where I'm getting at? We just don't. Hey, the truth of the matter is, when we measure up here, we don't measure up. And if we're going to be judged according to our works, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. But then the Bible said the book of life is going to be open. And is your name written there? Is your name? If your name's not written there, the verdict is simple. The Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I just want to say this to you. The verdict's going to be final. That's it. That's it. There won't be any appeal. There won't be any, well, wait a minute, let me see if I can't work out some kind of deal. No. Either your name is in. You see, the problem is when we look at our works, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. When we measure our works, we measure our works against this book, we're guilty. We're guilty. When I was driving downtown those years ago, I was guilty. I deserved a ticket. I had no argument. I didn't have a leg to stand on. I could not justify myself. I had no defense because I was guilty. My works had broken the law. And we live in we're guilty. We've broken God's law. We've broken God's law. The only hope we've got is my name in that book. Is my name in the book of life? Is your name there? Say, preacher, how do you get it there? By faith. By faith. Trusting the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. That's the only way it gets there. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's through His grace and His mercy that He has saved us. I stand before you this morning and I say to you, I know my name is there, but it is not because of my works. It is not because of my works. When my life is put up against this book, it doesn't measure up real good. Oh, I might be better than the Skid Row bum. My life might be better. I've maybe done a little better works than that convicted a murderer, the consistent, constant thief. Okay, maybe, but I still don't measure up. I still don't measure up. No, don't measure up. When I stand before you this morning, I can tell you I know my name's written in that book. He said, I can't be so sure, because when I was a nine-year-old boy, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, God had been dealing with me for several weeks. I knew I was lost. I knew what it was to be a sinner. I knew I was guilty. And conviction was on my soul. And boy, that Sunday night my dad preached. I do not remember what he preached. I have no idea. If somebody said what he preached on, the best guess I could have made was the platform. I don't remember any verse that was read. I don't remember any song that was sung. Now, you said, why not? One reason is because I was under such conviction. Man, I knew, if I die the way I am, if the Lord comes back, I am in trouble. I knew I was lost. That Sunday night, I stepped out, and the devil said, get back over here. So I did. I was sitting long about over here where maybe Lauren is. That's about where I was in the auditorium. We didn't have pews. We had chairs. And I stepped out, and the devil said, get back. I did. I'd been listening to him for years. But then I stood there, and I thought, man, you're stupid. You ever talk to yourself? When you do, try to be honest, okay? And I did. I thought to myself, man, you're stupid. So I stepped out again, but this time I didn't give him time. I didn't give the devil time to say, get back in here. I stepped out and I was gone, man. And I tell you what, I trusted Christ as my Savior. He saved my soul. He forgave my sin. I've had a peace since that night that passes all understanding. I know my name is written there, not because I deserved it, because I don't. I know my name is there because of the mercy of God, the grace of God, and I did what God said to do. Have you? Have you? Listen, it doesn't matter who you can fool. It doesn't matter who you can fool here. You can't fool God. Remember I said the books are going to be open? It's going to be there in black and white, man. It's going to be there in black and white. You're not going to be able to justify it. You're not going to be able to explain it away. You're not going to be able to say, well, that's wrong. Hey, that's God you're talking to. He knows you better than you know you. Hey, don't try to kid yourself. Don't say, well, somebody else, doesn't matter what somebody else thinks. Hey, you listen to me. What does God know? I'm sure beyond a shadow of a doubt I've trusted Him. I can take in my life to the time and the place, and I know where it was, and I know when it was. Now, if you ask me for the date, I've got no idea. But I know I was a nine-year-old boy. And it was on a Sunday night. It was at First Baptist Church of Tice, Florida. I believe I could go there today. The last I heard, even the building is gone. But if the lot's still vacant, I believe I could come pretty close to the point and say, that right there is where I got saved. I know it. What about you? You see, when you're born the first time, there is a specific place you're born. I was born Vidalia, Georgia. Connor Bedenfield Hospital, Vidalia, Georgia. That's where I was born the first time. I could take you there, but I can take you to the place I was born that second time. And that second birth, a lot more important. That got my name in the book. Your name written there? If not, I'll tell you, here's what the Bible says. Here's what's coming, okay? Whosoever's name was not found written was cast into the lake of fire. Lake of fire. That's your destination, friend. That's what's coming. You can count on that taking place. You said, I got plenty of time. Where'd you ever get an idea like that? Where'd you ever get an idea like that? You got plenty of time. I've preached the funerals for elderly people. I preach the funerals for young people, teenagers. Preach the funeral for infants. You don't know you got tomorrow. You don't know you'll be alive when tomorrow's sun comes up. And you're going to gamble your eternal soul on that maybe. Won't you take Christ as your Savior today? Would you accept Him? In just a moment, we're going to sing a verse of invitation. We're going to invite people to come. We're going to invite people to come. Not to embarrass anybody. I want to tell you, when I was 9 years old, you said, 9-year-old kid, you don't care. Every kid cares. Every kid cares about who's watching. Every kid cares. But I'll tell you, it was more important than who was watching. I'll tell you this, everybody that's here that saves, praying you get saved. Everyone. But I'll tell you this, there's nobody here that their opinion means enough that you'd go to hell because of it. Care what they think. There's a God in heaven dealing with you this morning, and what you feel is the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. Not me. It's Him. He's dealing with you, and He's saying you need to get saved. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. I'm going to step down. I'll be standing right down there. I'm going to invite you to come and accept Christ. You say, what do I need to do? Just step out, walk down the aisle, come down, meet me, take my hand and say, preacher, I want to trust Christ.
Amen.
And we'll have somebody take the Bible and just show you what. I want you to understand completely from the Word of God what's going on. We'll have somebody take the Bible and show you. You're not going to have to give a speech, but they'll take the Bible and show you. Will you do it today? Hey, the future is the lake of fire. The Bible says where that fire is never quenched. Never quenched. Listen, God says today, He holds out His grace, willing to give you what you don't deserve. And in mercy, He's willing to not give you what you do deserve. But that grace and that mercy will end one day. It's available. Take advantage of it, would you? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. Lord, I've done the best job I could to make it as simple as I could to present a simple truth from the Word of God. There's going to be the last real roundup that's going to take place, and the dead will stand there. They'll be judged. And the Bible said the ones whose name is not written in the book will be cast into the lake of fire. Lord, I don't want anybody that's here to be there that day and be cast into the lake of fire. Would You burden their hearts this morning? Would You help people to understand the truth? Would You help them to come today? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.